whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And good morning. Happy New Year. This is Computer Talk with Tab, the first broadcast of 2025.
Yay!
Hopefully of many more to come. Our 30th year doing this program in some way, shape, or form.
Wow.
On 1080, as they celebrate 100 years coming up. I think it's February, that birthday is. But we're happy to be here, and this little snowy Saturday morning, so feel free to get online early and often. 860-522-9842 is the number if you want to talk tech with us. Or if you have any questions about your technology or if something doesn't work, surprise, surprise, we're here to help you with that if we can. And as usual and customary, we have technology news, lots of technology news going on these days. What do you want to start with there, Dennis?
Well, I thought maybe we would talk about what's going on in L.A., L.A. County.
Yeah.
Los Angeles with the wildfires.
Sure.
The L.A. County Sheriff's Department is dogged by a particular little problem.
Oh, boy.
They have a computerized dispatch application that the deputies use in their cars. They log into it in their laptops, and they can get the dispatchers can send them places or give them information through that system. Okay.
Yep.
Very nice. Gives them a lot of data, all kinds of information they can use to help people, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's a custom-built application, and there is now a flaw in it. Starting on New Year's Eve, even before the new year started, that application failed. The deputies can't log into it anymore because of a dating glitch within the code of the application.
Jeez.
The application now thinks that it's July 2003.
Oh, that was
so
a good time.
So when you're trying to connect with from your computer with, you know, a real date in 2025 or even 2024,
can't do it.
It would just not recognize, would not allow the connection.
2003, that's a good year.
Yeah.
I had hair back then. It was nice. That's too
bad. That wasn't too bad. So, at any rate, this application is custom built, apparently.
And it's DOA right now.
It's DOA. They have known that there are issues with this.
Of course.
For a very long time. The former sheriff
knew that was coming.
Knew it was coming. He actually predicted it. He predicted this failure. Not because he was aware of this particular flaw. He was just saying, yeah, I mean, this software is very delicate. We know it's going to fail sometime.
Right.
And then, bang, it failed.
And again, these are the quote-unquote experts running these towns and cities and municipalities knowing these systems are going to fail. And the amount of taxes folks pay to have I'm sure the police cars are beautiful.
Oh,
but
yeah.
To have the systems inside them not work? I mean, it's embarrassing.
You know, they can use and they can still use the radios to dispatch and provide
radio
information.
Still works.
Oh, yeah, radio works.
Right.
Yeah, you're listening to it.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's fine. But it's just this, this data system that they can't even use. And this is the time that they need that.
Yes.
Because they need to be able to get out, get ahead of the fires, whatever they need to do to help people because of those.
Of course, it's a system they've been using for a long time.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's very old. It's very, very old. Apparently, there was like one consultant who knew how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And that person is not always available.
Jeez. if we had a nickel for every time we heard this story, especially, you know, even in our client base with businesses. I was just meeting with a client just recently, a potential client, and their old software had it's a 2012 system, and of course they got to get their W-2s out, and they're not going to be able to. Or they're going to be just in time try to get them out because we have to do an emergency migration to help them get to a new platform so that they can actually do this work. And again, it's that planning thing, you know? I mean, you got to maintain all your systems, not some of your systems. Again, the cop cars are probably nice and clean. I'm sure the guns all work. But the software to get you where you're going is not working. That's not very helpful.
No.
In other news, Zuck, I would always say it's been since 2017, I think, that when Zuckerberg started censoring posts on Facebook because somebody didn't deem it worthy We would say, okay, you know, our links will be there as long as Zuckerberg deems it worthy. Well, it looks like Zuckerberg's done censoring your posts. So they were censoring true posts and false posts, all sorts of posts, but they were censoring them, and he admitted there's a lot of bias in his approach to using a third-party firm to do that. And, of course, everyone who enjoys government censorship is up in arms, but they're going to go ahead with the community notes approach to censoring, or shouldn't say censoring, to correcting posts that are not correct, using the community to say, wait a minute, that's not a picture of an orange, that's a picture of an apple, and I'm pretty sure that's a picture of an apple, and here's what an apple looks like. And having folks do that as a crowdsourcing approach to getting to the truth of something has been something X has done with after the Twitter files and what happened with Musk taking over and realizing that censorship that was occurring. Now Zuckerberg's seeing the writing on the wall. I wonder how he figured that out. I mean, could have done it before the election, but no. I guess he was going to keep censoring as long as, depending on which way the wind blew. But free speech and not being censored by the government of truth is definitely something this country was built on. So it's nice to see that this is going to be something that Facebook says that they're going to do and allow for community notes. So I'm excited about it, and I won't be saying now that Zuckerberg will deem it worthy when we post our articles, because it'll be you, the community, who will deem it worthy. So I think that's a good thing for me, as far as I'm concerned. In other news, too, do you want to bring anything up there, Dennis?
Oh, as we know, about a month ago, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris was reopened.
Yes.
After it was rebuilt after a fire.
Right.
What a lot of people don't know, and I found an article about this.
Yeah.
Was that the reconstruction required, you know, knowledge of what the structure was.
And what did it look like?
Because whole chunks of it were completely gone right after the fire. So how do you rebuild something that isn't even there?
Yeah.
Well, it turned out that back in 2015, there was a team that had done some laser measuring of the cathedral, just because they were trying to map it and trying to understand what was in it and where it was, all that.
Yeah.
Well, they used that data and worked with the Autodesk company that makes CAD drafting software.
Yep, computer-aided design.
And they came up with a model for the whole cathedral.
Nice.
And that information was then used as part of the reconstruction project.
That's awesome.
So there's computing and probably more than a little AI.
Mm.
I'm sure that AI routines were used as part of that reconstruction.
To fill in gaps.
Right. Yeah. Because not every single point that they needed would be present. So you need something to figure out what was where in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we talk about the evils of computing and AI. This to me was a nice application.
Right.
And Autodesk apparently donated their time and resources to this project.
Awesome.
So let's give them a few props.
Yeah, we'll put a link up to those stories for you as well. And one other quick story you may or may not be aware of if you have a kid in the school system or if you're a teacher. But the databases and tables of students, teachers have been stolen from PowerSchools in a cyber attack. Article is from the Register, but it's all over the interwebs if you want to hear from all sorts of folks talking about PowerSchools. But the subline here is CloudBiz only serves 60 million plus folks globally. No biggie, right? So again, a cloud-based system that was infiltrated, used by 18,000 customers around the globe, 60 million folks, K through 12. And of course, so what was the data that was pilfered?
Oh, must have been student data, right?
Student data and teacher data.
Oh.
Social security numbers, of course. So, you know, this is, again, not a good look for your cloudy systems out there, guys. Because when you put all your eggs in that one cloudy basket, when that one cloudy basket gets attacked, you're all exposed. You know, PowerSchools used to be something that would be run locally, just like CDK. You could run locally CDK servers in your on-prem, and so that only the bad guys would be able to attack you specifically. But when they go after the cloud solution, you're all impacted, all at the same time.
Right.
So you got to keep that in mind when you're making these decisions to use cloud technologies. Everyone says it's going to save you money. Well, A, it doesn't. The cost of the cloud is astronomical. And B, your exposure is many times over. So not only, I get a feeling you're going to see boards of education possibly sued for this information that's been leaked out. I'm sure Maine will let us know, right?
Well, yeah, because they have that special disclosure law.
That's very nice. Yeah, the only state that has it, it seems.
Well, hey, out of 50, you only need one.
That's true.
So why not just use them?
State of Maine, keeping people honest since 2020, right when they started that thing. So the information will be out there. And again, this is an issue we got to think about, guys. Yes, the cloud sounds like a good idea. And it could be a good idea for all sorts of things, like email and stuff like that. It's still hackable, though, too. But when you put everything in an application like this and they enter it, and this is, again, who knows how they got in. It could have been through, from some of the stories I'm reading, they could have been banging around in there for a very long time.
Yeah, there isn't a lot known about this, but you're right. This was a long-term incursion.
Yeah, the cybersecurity vendor that's been monitoring this Black Hat Hacking Forum says that they've been banging around inside this as far as back as June 16th of 2011.
Wow.
So, and it just ended the digital trespassing as of January 2nd of this year. So that's awful. I mean, nobody's paying attention to what's going on in there. A couple of basic things you guys need to think about. And again, could have contributed to this hack. Make sure all your accounts are 2FA.
Yes.
All right. Make sure all your accounts are 2FA. Also, don't give a person an admin level account.
Right.
Dennis, I don't care who you are. Yeah. You're the president of the company. You're not getting an admin credential to our systems.
Yeah.
Right? I trust you as a person. But the problem is that the bad guys get at Dennis's account. He has the power of God, and he will do whatever, that bad guy will do whatever he wants as Dennis. So you don't give those folks those access.
That's why I don't have admin rights to.
Right. I don't either.
Yeah.
So
none of us do.
So you have a separate admin account. A lot harder to hack an admin account that's not out there versus
it's not logged in constantly. Right. So there isn't necessarily going to be some kind of behind the scenes security key that might be available or a token.
Right.
You log in, you do your thing, you log out, and that leaves nothing behind to be grabbed.
And then with 2FA active, when they try to log in, they're going to be
prompted.
And
then they get blocked by that.
Right. And, of course, there's geofencing you can do, too. Make sure you don't let Russia even know you exist. So you can configure firewalls that are smart enough to that it don't even see you. Right. Now, of course, they can VPN into America and then do whatever they want to do. But at least you've tried and gotten rid of some of those folks. So we'll put a link up to these stories so you can take a look at them over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Mike G will also post them over to Facebook. And now that Zuckerberg doesn't have to deem it worthy or not, it'll get to you. And, of course, if you follow us on X, it'll get to you as well over at Tab Computer Sys. We'll step out for a quick break. We got a couple lines open. 860-522-9842 is the number. Happy New Year. We'll be right back. Joey's running the show and he breaks out the old stuff. This goes back a ways, Joey. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll talk about whatever you like technology-wise and see if we can help you out. Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Oh.
He wouldn't have been able to log in and change his grades either. Yeah. Now you're right. Oh, that was a classic move. Such a great movie. All right. So let's get to your calls. Let's go to Ed in Wallingford first and see what he's got cooking out there. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, welcome back from your well-deserved break.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Look, while WTIC, while you guys were gone, they had some talk show type of things on. There was some guy on there talking about lithium batteries.
Yeah,
okay.
And he caught my attention, and some of the things he said was never to leave your laptop plugged in all the time. I mean, I unplug it to cycle the battery a couple, two, three times a month. But is that safe to just leave the charger, the plug plugged into your laptop all the time?
Yes, and I'm gonna explain why. Number one, it is a lithium ion battery, but it's not one that's powering like a motor, like an e-bike or something like that. So it doesn't have the potency that some of those do. And I know that sometimes e-bike manufacturers will tell you don't leave it plugged in all the time.
Right.
For that reason, because it's just a really energetic chunk of material. Well, in a laptop, you're talking about much less. Okay.
And there's smarter technology in the battery.
There's smarter technology. In the battery itself, there is power management chip.
Yeah.
In the motherboard of the computer, there's a power management chip. Mm-hmm. In that brick that's between the wall and the laptop that you plug in, there's also a power management chip. Those chips, all three, talk to each other constantly to talk about what's coming in, what am I getting, what am I sending, everything.
Yeah.
And they regulate that. And even the motherboard itself has temperature sensors, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it will become aware if the battery starts to heat up.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. It's all talking to itself as long as everything's plugged in. You should not need to worry.
Right.
The only problem that you might have is if there is a component that has some kind of flaw in it. Is your power cable, does it have anything frayed on it?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a problem with the power outlet that you're plugged into?
Mm, yeah.
I mean, is
that's,
it
that can
happen short
with
out?
Toaster,
but that's
though.
Right. That can happen with anything. You can have theoretically, you could have a hardware problem in the laptop itself that causes something to not be recognized right.
Yeah.
But if everything is in good working order, you can leave that plugged in forever.
Yeah, and I do.
Unquestionably, yeah, well, and I do too.
I kind of thought that was the answer.
Yep.
But he was so anti-lithium battery in this discussion he had.
Mm.
And I can understand, you know, my blower has, my Toro blower has the big 60-volt lithium ion. I never leave it plugged into the charger. Once it's charged, it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's powering a motor. Like I said, that there's a lot more energy in that.
Yeah, I'd be nervous about plugging in my car. I don't have an electric car, but I would be nervous about having it in my garage plugged in. And then we've seen examples of them having issues. That's a much more powerful battery.
The total energy in your laptop battery is probably a tenth of that.
Right.
If matter of fact, it might even be a 20th of it. I mean, it's much smaller in terms of the chemical potency of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the same would go for the power cord, or what do they call it, the brick that you plug in the wall to charge your phone.
Yeah.
He said, you should never leave that plugged in. Once the phone's charged, unplug it from the
wall. Same deal. You can leave those plugged in.
However.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I
listen to WTIC religiously, and this particular show, it caught my attention, but he was pretty much anti-lithium battery.
Well, lithium batteries do have their issues. Like Pixel just came out.
Yeah.
With a new update, my Pixel came up with a new update, Android 15, I think is what it is, where now it says you can go ahead and set your battery to only go to 80%, which is kind of nice. It's going to keep the battery running longer, because when I had it sitting on my electric charger in my car, it would be a magnetic connection and it would charge constantly. And you would take it off there and it'd be hot.
Right.
And batteries that get charged to 100% like that on your phone don't last as long when they're constantly brought up to that 100% mark. So you can choose to bring it to 80, which I've done.
Yeah.
And because I constantly am charging it when I plug it into my car, I'm never having an issue with battery life. And you can quick charge these things these days now. Within an hour, you can get back to almost full speed with a good fast charger. So.
Right. But even the quick charge protocol.
Yeah.
Has brakes built into it.
Oh, sure. But it is hot if you did it the other day.
Yeah, they can get hot.
So
my Samsung phone has a feature to charge it to 85%, then it stops.
Yep, and that's, I think, will extend your battery life. It's a good idea, and I would recommend turning that on.
Well, I do appreciate you guys so much, and I listen religiously. You know that. I've called before.
All right, Ed. Well, thank you.
And thanks a lot, and welcome back.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Bye-bye.
Batteries. It is an interesting It is an interesting discussion because, again, you've got the issues with the electric cars, and you've got the issues with the e-bikes. And to your point, those big batteries are monstrous.
Yeah.
And leaving them plugged in, having your e-bike plugged in constantly is an issue. You got to unplug
it. Yeah, if you've got something like that, I would read the manual and just follow that advice. Whatever it says, do that.
Exactly. So we'll be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842 is the number. And if you want to follow us on Facebook, you can go ahead over to the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. It's a private group. We only did that to try to alleviate the spammers. So you can ask to join, and we'll let you in as long as you're not crazy. And we don't even know how to discern that, frankly. And we'll let you in. You can check out our Facebook broadcast, which is happening right now. A couple of pasty white computer geeks here. Freezing. Not freezing. We're melting, actually, here in the studio.
It's a little toasty in here.
Yeah, it is a little toasty. But we're going to do fine and help you guys out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We will be right back. We are back. And we're here till 11 o'clock. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And where are you guys? Feel free to come online, 860-522-9842. And we'll talk about your lithium batteries if you like. Joey brought up a story, I guess, in Mass. They just showed a hobby shop burned down due to, it looks like, a lithium battery. Just brand new, sitting there on the shelf. So there's definitely some issues they got to work out with them. You know, I guess if you think about it, lithium is used also to help folks who are a little mentally unstable. So maybe put the two together, figure out how to stabilize the lithium. I don't know. Weird juxtaposition there, I know. Let's go to Larry in Middlefield and see what he's got cooking. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Good morning, all.
Morning.
Larry here, obviously.
Yeah.
My other Google Pixel phone.
Yeah.
For Christmas, my girlfriend bought me a wireless charger, Samsung wireless charger, and the phone was Samsung. And the thing worked, but leaving it unattended at one time, it overheated the battery and wrecked the battery in the phone, practically.
Yep.
And the phone was very hot.
Yep.
So, the bottom line is, I don't do that anymore. I plug it in with the USB and charge the phone that way.
Now, Larry, you said...
The wireless chargers, that's inductance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the charger has a coil, and the phone has the coil, too. And anything you do with charging, it's inductance, and that creates heat. So the bottom line is I don't use it anymore. I got rid of it.
So real quick question. You said it was a Pixel phone that you bought a Samsung charger for?
The charger, my other Pixel phone, the charger she bought me was meant for the phone. This is a couple of years back for Christmas.
Okay, so they were the same brand then, Larry? They weren't like Google Pixel phone being charged by a Samsung wireless charger, right?
It was a charger meant for the phone,
okay. Because that's important, too. When you mix and match, you might find that they're not as optimum as they could be.
Yeah, there are different wireless charging technologies. You have to be careful.
Yeah. But no, your experience is something that you went through and then... You want to? I don't know that plugging it in is going to give you any less exposure or more exposure. I use wireless charging for my phones we have for years, and we have not had an issue yet, but until we do.
Yeah. Well, the very first time I ever used a wireless charger, it did get very, very hot.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 10 years ago, and I've gotten rid of that since. I use wireless charging all the time, and I don't have any heat problems.
No. So.
Well, I could plug the phone in with the USB-C, the USB, and leave it plugged in if I wanted to.
Right.
And it does not get hot.
Awesome.
When it's charged, it's charged. And the PC is also the laptop. Well, I have a Google.
Chromebook, maybe?
Yeah, I'm still using that for banking and stuff.
Yep.
That has, if it needs charging, well, it's plugged in, the light is orange, and when it's charged, it goes out.
Right.
It's kind of like a bluish or a white.
Yep.
And so that's okay, leaving plugged in too, like previous caller.
Yeah.
There's no issue.
But right.
The only thing I don't trust is wireless charging. I'm sorry, but I don't trust it.
It's okay, man. You don't have to.
Okay.
You'll be plugged
in. All right. Catch you on the radio.
Thanks, Larry.
All right.
Bye-bye. Now, induction, I'll tell you, is awesome.
It is.
We cook with induction at home, and it is the most amazing technology. We got rid of a gas stove, not because somebody made me. All right? My wife and I don't cook much. if you listen to the show, we're lucky to be alive, frankly. But our stove, I was just sick and tired of the nasty stove. It's in the middle of an island, right in the middle of our kitchen, and trying to keep that thing clean was difficult. And we went with an induction technology, which has been heavily used in Europe and Japan for a very long time. The cool thing about induction is you don't get any heat. Like when you have a gas stove going and it's cooking boiling your water, that big flame that you're going there to get that water boiling, you can feel that heat. Not with induction. Induction is just messing with the metal. And you could literally put a paper towel in between my pot and the cooktop surface and it won't burn. Right, unless the metal gets that hot on the pot.
Yeah, the metal can get hot enough to torch the paper,
but that's the only way.
Right.
And I would tell you to look closely at induction technology. It is really neat. It's extremely precise. Talk about gas being precise. Induction is extremely precise as far as the temperature, and very fast to boil things. Instantly quick to heat up. That thing, you turn that on to 9, it's messing with that metal fast, and it's pretty cool. You need special pots and pans.
Right. It's not just any pot or pan that you've got.
No, it has to be induction capable. But I highly recommend looking at it as a technology if you're looking for a really neat way. Now, of course, it affects your electric bill, which here in Connecticut, that's going through the roof. But it is a neat technology because he brought up induction. Anything you want to bring up before we go to a break there, Dennis? Or you want to talk about? Actually, I'll talk about it. Oh. We kind of touched on it with Brian on Tuesday. Adult websites in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
They no longer, many of them are quote unquote pulling out of Florida because they can't confirm your age.
Right.
And, but, you know, again, having a confirmation of age of accessing these sites is a good idea. I think I don't want some 12-year-old looking at this stuff. So I appreciate what the legislature is trying to do. But of course, now VPN usage is up 1,100%.
Yeah.
Because that same 12-year-old understands how that works.
Right. So they're using VPNs to get out of Florida and then...
Right. Land in some other state.
Right. Or even another country.
Right. So that's the idea what a VPN is. It allows you to have security, but it also allows you to have some sort of anonymity because, well, yes and no, depending on the VPN provider, right?
That's true.
The VPN provider could leak your DNS incorrectly, and you could be using local DNS, and then you think you're anonymous.
But whoever you're using locally for DNS knows where you're going.
Yeah, and so that happens on certain VPN providers. So my point of telling you all this is that the law in Florida is flawed, obviously, because if you simply put a VPN in to get around it, you're not really doing anything. So the legislatures need to go back to the drawing board and better understand how to secure by device, right? Think about it with Netflix or think about it with Disney. They're locking down their logins. How come they can do that, right? Well, because you have to log in as you.
Correct.
Right? You can't share somebody else's login because they also notice if you're not in the geode location, they're like, wait a minute. I see you're logging in, Eric. Here in Connecticut, but wait a minute, you're using your son's account in Florida there. I'm not going to let you do it. So they really need to start working on better authentication with folks on your device, where the device controls it or the operating system controls it so that you can be confirmed.
Right.
That way you can actually then deal with adult material not getting into the hands of kids. Now, we've had other folks on our program talk about specific types of phones that are built by default to kind of help you with that.
Right.
I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but she'd come on before talking about this great technology. We'll find it again. But it's a good step in Florida to try to keep kids away from adult material. I remember when the NC-17 type video games, the first person shooters of Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto were out, you know, 20 years ago now, and now it made such a big deal. The parent had to go and you're sitting there at GameStop and you're going to buy the game, you know, and you're giving it to your 12-year-old. big controversies there dealing with folks doing that. You had to confirm that you're an adult and, you know, buying a game for a kid that probably shouldn't be playing it at that age anyways. Somehow we've lost control of this whole thing, and anybody can get to anything at any time from anywhere. So it looks like we do need to look at strengthening and putting some onus on either the device itself or the operating system itself. We've given these devices and these systems and these operating systems such a pass for so many years, right? And again, it was important to get the industry started in the 90s when Dennis and I started really getting into this stuff, right? It had to be easy. You didn't want to put too many constrictions in there.
Right. It's you should be able to get in with one click, right?
Yeah. And then have admin credentials. right? And just share everything out. And who has access? I don't know. That's been still continued to the point where we've talked about Microsoft and their CEO saying that they're going to actually be more security minded.
Yeah.
This year, they say.
Right. They're going to be basing the executives' bonuses on it.
Right. So I guess they're not getting any bonuses. but having the legislature do what they're doing, and the website just says, okay, we'll just not show up in Florida. But the workaround is so ridiculously easy that you have to go back to the drawing board. So not saying I have all the answers, but I would think the device itself and or the operating system should do a better job of verifying the age of the user. And that could be done these days. We'll step out for a quick break. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open on this first Saturday back in 2025. Yes, we were off last week. If I don't, I will get divorced. She'll kill me if I don't take a couple Saturdays off. So I had to take a couple Saturdays off, and I enjoyed them in the free state of Florida last week. Beautiful weather down there. Oh, my goodness. And now we're back here to cold Connecticut. Happy to help you guys out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll be right back. And we are back. And we're here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Three lines open for you. We're live and local and late breaking.
Yes, we are.
Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Stefan here in New Britain. What's going on, Stefan?
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
I have a new phone.
Congratulations.
It's a Google Pixel 8a.
Okay. That's a nice phone.
Does it have an internal user guide?
An internal user guide? Normally you got to Google the Google user guide.
It works quite different from my Samsung Galaxy 6 Active, which when I showed it to the people at the place that I bought it, they were like, whoa, what's this? And I said, it was a phone built for war, so I can keep it in my back pocket. This one I can't.
Yeah, your other one? Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there a manual for the Google Pixel 8? There definitely
like
is.
Like an internal manual, because I keep seeing like a whole bunch of YouTube videos. It works a lot different, as I said, and I mean, my laptop has an internal user guide. I was just wondering if this thing did.
I'm not sure, but what I did find, I'm on a laptop running Windows.
Right.
And in a browser, I can see something that's called a Google Guidebook, which is a guide to your Pixel phone.
Oh.
I am sure that there is something like that if you just Google Guidebook Pixel 8a. And it should take you to some kind of a resource, whether it's built into the phone or if it's online in their cloud. I mean, either way, it should tell you how to use the phone.
And I'm looking at it. There's notices about it not being PDF format.
Right.
Oh,
apparently, it's like all online.
So wait a minute, Stefan, are you the one person still RTFMing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's rare. He's the holdout. You're still
holdout.
All right. Stefan is reading the flipping manual. I love it.
I printed out an over 800-page manual for my music software.
Wow.
And it's sitting in a really thick ring binder.
Nice. Well, here.
Yeah. I'm a reader. I like printed things because do you know what printed things have that my cell phone doesn't? Well, I mean, My printed things don't have what my cell phone does. It's called an off switch.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right, man.
Right. It's there no matter what.
We appreciate your
there
approach.
No matter what, unless I lived in Los Angeles, then it would be burnt. But I'm just saying,
That's not
there's
good.
There's a delete button with technology, and there's an off switch with technology.
Right.
But not with printed media.
Yep, you're old school. You're old school. So, yeah, I mean, we can try to find a link to that manual for you. We'll do our best to find one for you.
That would be
good.
We
got it already.
Because it's this swipe on the lower part of the phone just to, like, close pages and stuff, and it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, you got to get used to how it works. Once you use a Pixel for a while, you'll be like, oh, okay, this makes sense. But, yeah, you go from one interface to another, it's not exactly the same.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well,
so
thank you very much. If you put up the link, that'd be great. And I'll look online once I get back and see if I can find this user guide, because I'm just surprised that they didn't include it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're saving a few trees.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Stefan wants to read the manual. Man, that's refreshing. Dorothy in Litchfield. What's going on, Dorothy?
Hi, Happy New Year. Good to have you back.
Yes, happy to be here.
I have a couple questions. My web root is going to be expiring.
Yep.
First of all, I'm hoping I can get rid of it.
You can.
Yep.
And can I just call them to cancel, you know?
Don't do that. They'll never let you off the phone. They'll be like, it's going to be like AOL.
I had Webroot for a long time. I did have to call them to cancel it, but that was like 2 years ago.
You did have to call.
Yeah, I did have to call them. I had to say stop.
Because they wouldn't do it the electronic
way. Right, and
they didn't
give me too much trouble.
There should be now, I think.
They're like, are you sure you want to do that? I say, yeah, I'm sure.
You can stop paying for Webroot. You can use the built-in Defender with Microsoft. I know we're saying, you know, Microsoft has its issues, but their Defender's pretty good.
Yeah. I have Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well...
Still, you could say you don't need it then, really. You could use ESET, free ESET, if you want to keep using an AV.
Yeah.
But the Mac does have a built-in security, though, doesn't it, Dennis?
It doesn't have an explicit antivirus.
Well, right, because they've always said they can't have viruses affect them.
Well, yeah, they do have something that Apple calls the malware removal tool, and it is periodically run on the computer.
Okay.
As part of the background and housekeeping tasks,
mm-hmm.
But if you really want to protect your computer, you pretty much have to get something.
So what should I get? What would you recommend?
Well, we were recommending ESET.
ESET, it's free.
Okay,
I think it's still free for Mac users.
Okay, and I did. Can you put that on your link for me?
Yeah, we can.
We should be able to. Yeah.
Yep, they'll be there.
Now, do I have to somehow go in here and take off Webroot before I put ESET on?
Yes, I would uninstall Webroot first.
How do you do that?
We can post a link to that, too.
It's basic steps, though, right? I mean, you've never removed any software from your Apple device?
No. Well, I got this not long ago. I don't use it that often.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell you the steps involved with an Apple. Okay. At all. But I know Dennis is more of a user, but...
You have to do it from inside Webroot.
You're kidding.
You open up the Webroot console, yep, and you trigger the uninstall.
That's
from
nice
there.
And convenient, right within its own self.
Right.
Well, where do I find that on Webroot? Because I've got it open here
Up in the upper left, one of the menus is called Webroot Secure Anywhere. And then you click on About Secure Anywhere. And then there should be an uninstall button.
All right, I'll look. I don't see it right now, but that's okay.
Yeah, it should be right in there for you. Dennis says it's there. It's there.
All right, I'll check it out then.
Awesome.
But I should get rid of that before I put ESET on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should uninstall it and reboot the Mac first.
Okay.
Just to make sure that it's up and running without any traces of the Webroot running, because having two different antiviruses on any computer causes conflicts that can dog the system.
Okay, is that true also with the phone and the iPad?
It's true of any device. You should only have one antivirus on it.
Mm-hmm.
To get rid of the Webroot on the iPad, what do I do? Just hold it and then delete it? Hold the app and then delete it?
Well, it should have a remove option on the iPad. Or is it a delete option? I'm not getting on these iPads.
Well, we can post a link to removing it on an iPad. I mean,
we'll find a link for you.
It's
thank you.
Yeah. Probably, like you said, hold it and delete it might just take care of it.
And that's also true on an Android phone.
Yeah.
With any Android, if you can get to the app icon for it and press and hold, there should be an uninstall option for it.
Yes, it's definitely clear.
Good. Okay. One more question regarding the app. I have the Monterey on it, and I know when the update came out for the next program that you were talking about, it wasn't good yet, and I'm wondering if now it's any good.
The latest version of Apple?
Yeah, what was that? It began with an S, I thought.
Was it the Sierra one, Dennis?
It's the latest version. I forgot what it is.
Yeah, you were telling people to kind of hold off.
For a while. I would say go ahead now because I haven't heard of any disastrous problems with it for the last couple months anyway.
Okay.
I haven't seen them telling me to update, but I know the last time I ignored it because you had said there could be problems. So.
Yeah, you're probably okay now.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. I'll look forward to looking at your uninstall information.
Sounds good. We just updated our website, so it's a little new, and there's a little bit of a delay on that posting of those links, but they will get there.
Okay, thank you. Have a wonderful week, okay?
You're welcome. Thanks
for everything.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So let's see if we can get another call in here. We've got Karen in Windsor. What's going on there, Karen?
Well, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am well. I have a question on PhoneLink. I have a ThinkPad laptop and a Samsung cell phone. And the last 2 months, it just doesn't coordinate anything well. Sometimes if I get a text, it never shows up on my laptop. And it's always on my phone, but it seems like the connection with the laptop is strange. And it's very inconsistent with getting a text out there. It will after maybe 15, 20 minutes. I do have my battery limit on my laptop set to 80%, but I've had that in place for a year anyway, and it's never made a difference. So I'm curious with PhoneLink, and I've Googled the heck out of it, and I can't seem to find the right fix.
Well, how many Bluetooth devices do you have linked into that laptop? Because it uses Bluetooth to communicate. So I'm wondering if you have some additional Bluetooth, like a mouse going along with the Bluetooth, and you've got headsets going along with the Bluetooth, and then you got this link going along with it, and maybe you're just dealing with an issue on your system's ability to speak to all these devices smoothly. Especially with a delay.
I have an iPad that I don't use very much, but it's always connected. I have a printer, but I plug it in and use it and then unplug it. So let's see, I do have a mouse. I have a smart speaker. And that's really it. And my cell phone.
Right, okay. Obviously, you need the latest Android 8. Obviously, it's better if it's 10. I'm trying to see if there's anything specific. There are some specific phones that work with it.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, you know your system is compatible, your phone.
Well, yeah, it was working fine up until a couple of months ago. So
let me put you on hold, okay, Karen?
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be right back.